We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Obviously, the big story that's going around Chicago right now is what's going on with the Loyola Ramblers. And someone who has seen it from a very cool vantage point is joining me now. When she's not chasing down Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines or making history doing play-by-play, she is out there making it happen on the broadcast, and she's been on the sidelines for some of Loyola's biggest wins. Lisa Byington joining me now here on The Score. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on, Lawrence. I've got my Sister Jean socks on, my Sister Jean t-shirt on. I'm staring at my Sister Jean bobblehead, so I'm ready to go.
So with you being able to be on the sidelines, what's the thing that you think that most people who are tuning in and maybe trying to catch up with Loyola need to know about this Ramblers team?
Well, first of all, I love the fact that you just let my three jokes just go by without reacting to them.
No,
at
I'm
all.
I'm coming back to them.
Like I really am all decked out in Sister Jean stuff.
Are you legitimately? Are you wearing the Sister
Jean
stuff?
No, I was totally kidding. I know this is my first time on your show, but sometimes I can be a joke in that way, Lawrence. But no, I definitely am not. But it's you know, it's wild, just the craze. And I live downtown Chicago, and it's awesome to see the Loyola fever pick up. I mean, I was actually, I was trying to pay for parking on the street yesterday. I'll tell you this story. And, you know, you've got like the app on your phone, and I went to go hit, you know, pay, and I hit the button, and then this alert pops up on my phone, and it just says, congrats to the Loyola Ramblers. They're headed to the Final Four. I'm thinking, you know, well, thanks for the reminder. But like everywhere you go in the city, as you know, it's a little Rambler crazy.
That's funny because I got the same thing. Like I have been watching the game. I watched the game and then went out for dinner afterwards and went to park. And it was like the same thing. Loyola Ramblers are going to the Final Four. And I was just sitting there going, how did this get on my parking app? And should I be talking to somebody about that?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, it's I was doing some shopping down on Michigan Avenue. I think it was Monday. And you see all these different with the electronic billboards that they have down there.
Yes.
And they're flashing on, you know, Sister Jean and then some of the players. And it's really to promote the school. I mean, so the marketing department, the development department, they're trying to squeeze everything they can out of this run.
As they should. I mean, I think that it's a wonderful thing for the university itself to be able to use up all this free publicity that the basketball team is out there earning, and Porter Moser is out there earning. So let me get back to that first question. Because people, you know, there are a lot of people that are jumping on the bandwagon. I think that that's a good thing that there are bandwagon fans in Chicago that are getting a look at Loyola. What don't they know about this team?
You know, that's a good question. I think what they don't know is that the fact that Loyola has gotten here for a reason, and that reason is that they understand their system. You know, if you watch Loyola play basketball, they shoot very few mid-range jumpers. They're about the three. They're about layups and really nothing in between. And every single person you put on the court understands that. I think they're a little bit underrated in terms of their physicality. Like you would look at them standing on the sideline, you might not think Loyola basketball or the physique that those players have would be very physical. But I'll tell you what, during the Elite Eight game when they were playing Kansas State, and I had a chance at halftime to talk to Bruce Weber, that was the first thing out of his mouth in terms of how they were defending Kansas State. He said, look, our guys underestimated how physical they were and how in your face they can be. And so defensively, I think they can play to that strength as well. And the other thing, Lawrence, is just the fact that they don't have one hero. You know, they have several heroes. If you look at their four games that they've played in the NCAA tournament, you know, Dante Ingram was the hero in the first round, Clayton Custer in the second round, Marcus Towns in the third round, and then Ben Richardson had a career high in the Elite Eight game. So who are you going to shut down? I think that becomes a problem for opponents.
What's been the reaction around college basketball? Because you see it from a lot of different perspectives of what Loyola has been able to accomplish.
I think people embrace it. I think people love it. I think college coaches and players who obviously don't have to play them have become Loyola fans, because this is what is great about the NCAA tournament. You know, they never go away, but yet they hardly ever pull away. You know, they did a little bit in that Kansas State game. So, you know, they're easy to jump on the bandwagon for when you've got, players who come from, you know, kind of grassroots, like Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson do out of Kansas and growing up together. You've got that story. Obviously, the Sister Jean thing has become, like as she would say, an international story. Mm. And so regardless if you're a fan, if you're a player, if you're a coach, I just think it's just a really, really easy basketball story to hop onto and support.
Talking with Lisa Byington, she's been on the sidelines for CBS and Turner throughout this tournament, and she's had the opportunity to watch and be around Loyola up close. Looking at the first couple of games that they had, and we can look at the way that they, you know, blew out Kansas State for the first 32 minutes of that game before the Wildcats started to kind of push back a little bit. You said earlier that they don't necessarily have a star, that they don't need one person to be a hero. How does Porter Moser foster that type of belief in each other that everyone can play a role in a win?
Yeah, and I think it's a great recruiting thing that he's done. And the fact that he's brought in, I think it's seven players on this team that have won either a high school championship or some sort of championship. So he's not only looking for players that are going to fit his system. He's looking for players who are winners, and he's brought that to Loyola. And the other thing that he's doing now is now suddenly, you know, some of the Chicago players are kind of paying attention to them too, and that's huge. They have now two players on their roster from Chicago, and that is a huge thing, because, you know, this is a hotbed, right,
mm-hmm.
for college basketball talent. So not only going for the players who fit your system, but winners. And if you go up and down that roster, he's got winners at almost every level that they've played at.
What's it been like to cover the rock star that is Sister Jean?
She's every bit as lovely as you would expect her to be. I actually have a cool Sister Jean story after the Elite Eight win. And, you know, it's like a sin against America if you don't interview Sister Jean after a Loyola win. So, of course, you know, we had the mandate to do that, and we wanted to give her some space and some time to enjoy some of the net cutting celebration. And so we didn't get her right away, but we got her maybe about, you know, 45 minutes after the game had ended. And she has people who help her, who kind of wheel her around and sort of look after her. And so we brought her into kind of a side room, and she was, you know, carrying her championship ball cap in her hand. And so when they wheeled her into the room, I said, you know, Sister Jean, you don't have your hat on. And she said, oh, it was because I was just waving hello to everyone using it in my hand. And I said, we got to put it on for the interview. And she said, well, do you want me to put it on forwards or backwards? Because the kids wear it backwards. And I was just dying. I had the reaction that you did right now. And I was, you know, and so I was a no-brainer. I said, well, Sister Jean, you got to put it on backwards. And then she had in her other hand, she had like the piece of the net from the net cutting celebration. She said, could you, and she hands it to me, could you put this in my hat for me?
Oh, that's great.
And so I asked her where she wanted it. She said in the front, you know, just don't make me look silly. And so we did the interview with her hat backwards and the net hanging from her. Like, she looked like an old pro.
When you were looking at the brackets at the beginning, when did you start to believe that Loyola might have a path, maybe not to the Final Four, but to win a few games?
I think it took me until the Sweet 16. Like, you know, after that first round win, I thought it was great. I thought, you know, we've seen so many of those last second shots, but then some of those teams just don't advance. Then when they beat Tennessee, an SEC team, and they had already beaten Florida, obviously, I knew earlier in the year, I thought, okay, like this team's got something to them. When we spent some time with them, you know, our game was on Thursday, so we had a practice day and an interview day on Wednesday. And I just got a feel like going into that Sweet 16 game that they just, for whatever reason, and they have no reason to not be intimidated by this stage because they haven't been there before. But they weren't. Like, I never got that feeling from them and watching them practice or talking to them, the coaching staff and the players. I never got the feeling that they were intimidated by the moment at all. So it was prior to that Sweet 16 game, prior to when they took on Nevada, that I felt like, you know what, this team's got a chance to get to the Final Four. Now, winning a national championship, that's a different story. I don't know if they could get to that point.
Okay, so let's look at the matchup against Michigan. Where does Loyola have an advantage, and are there some concerns?
Well, you know, the biggest concern for me is Mo Wagner. I think he is a matchup nightmare, and I was trying to think about Loyola's roster. I just don't know, especially at the four and the five position, you know, who can match up with him. They're going to have to figure out what they do with Cameron Krutwig in that position. Krutwig can't defend Mo Wagner on the perimeter. And Michigan has been able to use him maybe at the five spot sometimes in the regular season to create that sort of matchup. You know, when you have a big guy trying to defend the perimeter, a lot of times that doesn't go very well for the big guy, right? And so I think that's my big concern with how Loyola matches up to Michigan. You know, Michigan, on the flip side, they're going to have to defend Krutwig in the middle as well. So it kind of goes both ways. You know, there's when you talk about mismatches, it goes both ways on both ends of the court. And like I said, I do think it's a benefit that they have shooters. They have three or four consistent shooters, Loyola does, that Michigan is going to have to account for. And, you know, Michigan's strength, especially at the end of the regular season into the conference tournament, they won on defense. And from the postseason, when I say postseason, from the conference tournament on to the NCAA, their defense has kept them in this, and their defense is the reason why they're in the Final Four.
Lisa, I've been trying to tell people about Cameron Krutwig for a few months that this is basically a right tackle with dancer's feet that can pass. And it's so fun, like, watching him pass. It's a stupid thing as you're watching games to get excited about. But from a fundamental and skill level, watching him pass is an absolute joy.
Yeah. Well, Lawrence, you and I are going to get along really well because I can tell, like, you have a good basketball mind for noticing that early. And I can't tell you that I was able to sit in. Kansas State let me sit in on their shoot-around / practice prepping for the Elite Eight matchup against Loyola. And I swear to you, they spent a good 5 to 10 minutes on a set that Loyola will run. And it entailed basically feeding Krutwig either on the mid post or low in the block and not trying to defend him making a move, but defending him turning and with the skip pass trying to find a shooter on the weak side. And they worked on that, I swear to you, they worked on that for a good, like, 5 to 10 minutes because they recognize the same thing that you recognized, and that he's not only dangerous in terms of a one-on-one matchup, but he's dangerous in terms of finding his teammates, too.
It's amazing because two things here at play. Big men don't ordinarily pass well. Freshmen don't ordinarily pass well. So now you have these two things combining in this one player, along with his 30-pound weight loss that he had coming into the season. Like, that to me is really incredible. It tells me that he understands the game at a more advanced level than you expect most freshmen to.
Yeah, and he's willing. You mentioned the fact that he dropped some weight. I mean, I love that story about him, too, and the fact that he's willing to change his body. I mean, he let go. He said goodbye to the late-night Oreos and the fettuccine Alfredo, and he had to say hello more to the vegetables and the marinara sauce and stuff. But, yeah, and it doesn't happen by accident, you know. And I think the fact that he has dropped that weight shows his work ethic. I mean, you talk to their strength trainer, and he talks about how Krutwig went like two-a-days in the summer even. And he added like 50 to 75 pounds to his squat. But the thing that I thought was really compelling is not just the drop of his weight to their strength and conditioning coach. They worked on his mobility. And I agree, in fact, we use the comparison of the right guard comparison with his footwork. They worked on his mobility and his stretching, and that created flexibility with his ankles and his hips. And what does that do? Well, that allows him to play lower in the block and to make basketball moves on the post with greater ease. And a lot of people take that for granted. They think, oh, well, you know, he dropped some weight. Well, he not only dropped some weight, but he gained mobility and some flexibility to help with his game.
It's amazing. Lisa Byington joining me here as we talk about Loyola getting ready for the Final Four. What's this journey this year been like for you on the sidelines?
You know, I worked the first and second round last year, and this is my first opportunity this year to work the regionals. And I'll tell you what, like, you can just feel that everything means a little bit more. When you go from that first weekend to the second weekend, even when you're in the media, everyone's just a little bit more buttoned up, you know? And I mean from the coaches to the players to the media to the event organizers. Like, it's amped up considerably from the first to the second weekend.
That's got to be cool. And, I mean, look, when you look at your career – and all the places where I, like, see Lisa Byington's name, you know, whether it's you doing Big East games or you doing Big Ten games or you going back to your alma mater, how gratifying is it that at this point in your career, you are starting to get some of the acclaim that misses people and you're starting to get the big assignments to be doing what you love?
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily sit and think about that. I am obviously grateful for the opportunities. And I think I look back, there was a moment when I was done with doing the Elite Eight game, and I was about to fly out from Atlanta on Sunday morning because our game was Saturday night. I did take a moment then, and only because of this, because I was in Atlanta 10 years ago. I was a local reporter for your local CBS affiliate in Lansing, Michigan. And that was my second job in TV. And I decided to hop in a car and to drive down to Atlanta and to try to network and to meet and greet some people. And I actually met some CBS people at some gatherings and that sort of thing 10 years ago in Atlanta. And I had made some connections there that I had 10 years ago wanted to work the NCAA tournament. That was one of my ultimate goals. And so a few months later, after I met some of those CBS executives, I got a call, and I'm thinking, oh, this is for the, you know, to work for them and eventually get to the NCAA tournament. And they had offered me a sideline job for a Division II package for football. And, you know, it wasn't exactly what I had envisioned, but I said yes to it because I always believe that you don't say no to opportunity. And to me, that was an opportunity. It was a way for me to get into the CBS family. It was a way to open the door into that world. And I didn't really know where it would lead. Well, 10 years later, I think those connections and hopping in that car and driving to Atlanta, I think it paid off. And so I did take a moment on that Sunday morning to just think about that because it was the same city, you know, almost 10 years to the day that I had decided to do that, and then I got this opportunity. So I think it was just a reminder to me that sometimes doing a little bit of extra or sometimes doing some hard work does pay off.
I hate to compare you to Lil Wayne, but I'm going to. That Lil Wayne used to joke that whenever someone would ask him to be on a record, you know, that era where Wayne was the number one rapper in the world, he would say yes. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was Kenny Chesney or Miley Cyrus or Jay-Z or Kanye. It didn't matter. He was doing it. And I'm thinking about that as you're telling your story, that some people will say, well, you know, that wasn't a big opportunity, that maybe you should have let it slide. But no, it put you in a position now, a decade later, to fulfill one of your dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all, you know, some of it is networking and some of it is word of mouth and some of it is people trusting you. And so I had to take that Division II football sideline opportunity and treat it like it was the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, you have people word of mouth, they see your work ethic, they see your preparation, and then it grows. And you hope that someday it grows into something bigger and better.
What's something in this business that you haven't done that you'd like to do?
I would like to do a little bit more play-by-play. And, you know, I started to do some football play-by-play, a little bit more men's basketball play-by-play this year. And so I would like to sort of explore those worlds and see what kind of doors open in that way. And but you know what? A lot of people ask me, where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years? I have not set those goals anymore. Like, I really am legitimately happy with what I'm doing right now in terms of covering college sports. I've always kind of been a college person to my core. And so being able to cover this from the play-by-play level to the sideline level, I'm really happy with the opportunities I've been given.
Last thing I got for you. You live here. I live here. I've been asked about this in a couple different areas. Why has Chicago embraced Loyola?
Because it's a great sports town. I mean, honestly, but you know what? And they embrace great stories. You know, I went to Northwestern in the 90s. So I went to Northwestern when the Wildcats went to the Rose Bowl. And so I saw it back then. You know, this is a great pro sports town, but it's also just a great sports town. And I saw back in the 90s how Chicago embraced just a great sports story. It wasn't one of their professional teams. But it was they looked at it as one of their own. And to be driving around in a taxi cab and ask, hey, did Northwestern win, or how many rushing yards did Darnell Autry have? And then eventually late in the season to have cab drivers be able to tell you what that answer was, you know, showed me how much the city has embraced that story. And, you know, there's been championships that have been won with so many of the professional teams in this city. But again, it's just one of the reasons that Chicago is great is the restaurants, is the lake. But a lot of it is because of the sports, and it's a really sports savvy, sports supportive city.
Lisa, this was delightful. I appreciate you so much, and you're doing incredible work on the sidelines or when you're behind the mic. I saw you at the Big East tournament doing some great stuff. So I'm really happy for you that this is working out. And when things settle down, when the season's over, I want you to come and hang out in studio with me.
Okay, I'll bring my sister Jean socks. How's that sound?
Bring the bobblehead, too. Could you do that? That would be great. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Byington, if you want to follow her on Twitter and Instagram, Byington, B-Y-I-N-G-T-O-N. That's how you spell her last name. We'll take a break. Talk to you on the other side. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. Julie, thank you very much. We'll talk to Julie in a few minutes, get you ready for her show. If you need legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions that you want to answer to cbschicago.com/legaladvice or look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates at cbschicago.com/legaladvice. It's great to have Lisa on the show. She's great, and her story is really great too. I like people that grind, and she's out there doing whatever she has to do to be a part of this business, and it's really cool when you hear success stories like that where someone works and works and works and works, and then they get a big break and they crush it. And so she's doing sideline reporting for the NCAA tournament, something that she always wanted to do. And she has this great story to tell from covering Loyola. It's pretty awesome. Before I talk with Julie, and I'm sure Julie and I will talk a little bit of baseball, I do want to get back to talking about opening day. And it's just fun. I mean, I wish this week's weather was a little bit better, even though the Cubs are opening up in Miami and the White Sox are opening up in KC. It just, you know, I know we go through this all the time, and I think at least the schedule makers got it right. I'm okay with both the Cubs and the Sox opening up on the road because no one needs to be sitting in 40-degree baseball. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. However much farther you can push back opening day in Chicago, for the most part, I'm for it. I mean, I don't want the teams on the road for 3 weeks to start the season, but if you need that extra week, especially with the season starting in March, do it. Do it and keep them in warm weather cities or dome cities, and then let's just move on. Not that Kansas City is warm. It'll be warmer than here. So I'm excited to like, it's so stupid, like the things that you get jacked about when it comes to baseball. I'm excited for Saturday afternoon / evenings on my couch watching baseball. I'm excited for, and they do this every year. Like, don't we get all of MLB extra innings for like the first week? And you're kind of just like looking around, seeing what's what. It does feel like, and I was listening to Hit and Run, which is great. Shout out to my man Barry Rosner and Joe Ostrowski. They do an incredible job on that show. You can check them out every Sunday morning starting at 9 a.m. They were talking about how you kind of know, at least you feel like you know who's going to win the divisions. Like, I feel pretty comfortable that I know what's going to happen. Baseball occasionally, though, will send you a surprise, and there'll be some things that you're not thinking of necessarily. But when I look at the divisions, it seems pretty clear, like, who's doing what. That Madison Bumgarner thing, man, you wonder if the – I heard Sarah Spain talking about this on Around the Horn, and we actually had like a back and forth on Facebook about it, like the cascading injury thing, how like you get an injury and then it starts getting – like Derrick Rose, for example. You have one injury and then it starts to get worse. I know that these two things are not connected, or are they? But – the Madison Bumgarner thing is like, ugh. Anyway, you look at these divisions and you say, okay, in the American League East, it'll probably be Boston and the Yankees battling it out. In the American League Central, I expect Cleveland to win the Central, but maybe Minnesota is good enough to push them. We'll see. In the American League West, how can you not pick the Astros to win the division other than the World Series hangover thing? And Shohei Ohtani might be bad. Like, not just not good, but bad for the Angels. You look in the National League. Washington is clearly the best team in the National League East. You look in the National League Central. The Cubs are clearly the best team in the National League Central. And you look out west, there you got something going on. The NL West, will it be Dodgers, Rockies, Arizona? The Dodgers on paper look indestructible, but the Rockies and Arizona, like fighting for the wild card last year, like both those teams are still really good. Does the pitching hold up this year in Colorado? And now they have Wade Davis to close games for them. But for the most part, you kind of know what to expect. There's a tier of teams that's really good, and then there's a bunch of teams that are trying to get worse. Maybe the Mets surprise you. Maybe. If their pitching staff is healthy, maybe. There are some people who believe that Philadelphia could push. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not counting on either one of those things. Had Milwaukee done more, I would put them in that category. But they didn't. The Pirates, folks on the Pirates are complaining. Like, why didn't y'all spend any money? And then y'all traded Kutch. Isn't their payroll lower than the $50 million that they got from MLB Advanced Media? Like, I think their payroll is like $47 million or something stupid like that. All profit this year for the Pirates ownership. All profit. St. Louis will be decent. And I know maybe everyone doesn't still fear the Cardinals. I don't. I think the Cubs vanquished that dragon a long time ago. It's now the Cardinals looking up at the Cubs. It's now the Cardinals being jealous of the Cubs. And they need to be worried about the Brewers just being good enough to hang with the Brewers in a wild card. But I'm so looking forward to, like, a lazy Saturday on my couch of watching baseball. And the sights and sounds, we'll get a few of those over the next couple days. And when the teams come home, then we'll get the smells. you're there at 35th and Shields, and you can smell the onions on the concourse. What's this? I don't know what the I guess I never really thought about the like the because you know it's not my team. I never thought about like the romantic like smells of Wrigley Field. I guess the beer smell at Wrigley.
Yes, we know the smell.
Oh, you know what? Were you Ozzie Guillen?
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, when I go in there, I don't really have a distinct smell of anything other than...
I think it's beer.
Old style.
Yeah, there it is.
Croizen, perfectly.
Oh, yeah, okay. We get where you're going. Yes.
Tross.
Did you hear what... No. Did you hear what Ozzie said about what the Ricketts supposedly told him?
I did not.
That he ran into one of the Ricketts. He couldn't remember which one. And they were like, you know that we changed all of this because of you. Because Ozzie used to go on those rants about how bad Wrigley Field was. Although, they didn't change what he was most upset about, which is the visiting clubhouse. Still trash, as it should be. It's fine. Why do you get to be comfortable?
White Sox changed your clubhouse again. Visiting clubhouse.
I haven't gone in there yet. I was supposed to go. I had a meeting yesterday because they did that opening day thing where you get to go check out the new food and stuff. And I wanted to go over there because they always have cool stuff. But for me, it's the street taco man on the 100 level and the churro dude. Like those are, that's like when I go to the ballpark, that's what I'm looking for.
No elote?
No, I can't. Crohn's can't have the corn. So, but the street taco dude and I'm so all about the churros.
We need to go again and see if your girl can eat that full helmet. I know she did it last year.
Yes,
but that was wasn't it like a practice, a small amateur. What is it, Irish nachos or is it the full nachos?
She went full nachos. I gotta give Afia credit. I gotta give her credit. Like she's a real trooper when it comes to the. She's had the. My best friend and I go to games, and her eyes are always bigger than her stomach. So she'll order that helmet nacho, and then I make fun of her because she can't finish it. So she's done this four times, and she's been defeated three of the four times. The last time she did it, though, she finished it, and then I had to go buy margaritas for everybody. So I was walking back. You know how they have those weird, like, long... like plastic things for the margaritas. So I look like an idiot, which is what was the whole point. And my friend Joanne was there and they're laughing. But I know she got sick. Like I know that like when she got home, she didn't feel great. You're not supposed to eat all of that by yourself. The helmet nacho is not for one person. It's not. Like it's, you can't convince me that it is. And the worst part is like she's trying, like it's hot. It's like, you don't have to keep trying to eat this whole thing because now I'm sure it doesn't taste good. It's been 45 minutes. Stop. And I'm looking forward to getting, you know, listeners of this show out to games. I'm going to give away some of my tickets this year. So if you want to see the White Sox, you should be following me on Twitter or Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes, and I will hook people up throughout the season. I promise you that. This segment on The Score is being brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep. Welcome tomorrow with a new Tomorrow Hybrid mattress crafted by sleep experts at Serta Simmons. Use code DRIVE for $125 off at tomorrowsleep.com. Talk with Julie DeCara about what her show is going to be all about. I believe it's baseball. We'll do that next here on The Score. Hey, congratulations to the Chicago Wolves. They beat Iowa 3-1. To move within a point of the Manitoba Moose for first place?
Yes.
Let's go.
Their magic
Thanks for getting
number
to that before
seven,
I get
too.
To announce it in the update.
All right. I just wanted to make sure you didn't say a moose instead of Manitoba Moose. That's Julie DeCaro.
I already said Illinois.
You did. Where did that come from?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, your mouth just does things that you don't approve of.
Okay.
You can't stop it. It's like a teenager.
Is that what's going on?
Sometimes. I mean, yeah, I've been off the air for like a week, so I'm like out of practice.
What have you been doing?
Hanging out. I watched two seasons
wow,
of The Americans.
That sounded like a teenager right there. You've been hanging with your
working
teenager.
Working on my music. No, I watched 2 seasons of The Americans, and then I went to IU for a couple days.
With your son?
Yes. It was exciting.
Is he going to IU?
He wants to go to IU. It's going to be dependent on
some scholarship
money coming in.
That's right.
Because those numbers just keep going up.
Hey, there's some good quality universities right here.
There are.
Not far from you.
Yep.
Head on to DeKalb and just go on ahead and do that.
He goes to DeKalb. He's going to be home like every weekend. I don't necessarily want that.
Yeah. Oh, my. That's. I'm going to play this back for you.
When he's gone and I'm sobbing.
And you're a mess. That it won't be the first week. It'll be like the second or third week. You'll be like, I'm going to play that back for you.
Or I'm going to be like, sweet freedom.
I think, well, yeah, you'll do a little bit of Michael McDonald, sweet freedom. you'll do a little bit of that. And then you'll want to do his laundry.
I will never want to do his laundry.
He's gonna pop back in from wherever it is he's at school. You'd be like, can I do your laundry? See, because that's what happened with my mom.
But I'm not like a super domestic mom. Like, I'm not into laundry.
Like, she was kicked me out the house, basically. And then when I was gone, it was like, you know, you could just bring your laundry here. Because the laundry room is just basically, I know that you're going to be here for a few hours.
Yeah.
So you got to come home and do the laundry thing. But that's going to be you. Mm. You're going to be the sad, crying mom missing your boy. That's what you're going to be.
Well, the thing about IU is I feel like if I leave him to a place that I know very well, I'm leaving him with friends. And it feels better than leaving him someplace strange.
That totally makes sense. Do you remember like what schools you were struggling with when you were trying to decide what to do?
Yeah. It was North Carolina, it was Michigan. I applied to Illinois too, and then Indiana.
Okay.
So those were my—
What was the deciding factor?
North Carolina takes a really
North Carolina! Okay. All right, go ahead. Sorry, I just had to do that.
They take a really small percentage of out-of-state students. So even though I had a really high ACT score and a really good GPA, I still got waitlisted. And I was so offended by being waitlisted by North Carolina. I
Tony,
was like, that's it!
Why is Tony celebrating Julie getting waitlisted?
I don't know.
No, he said he finally got one of your references.
Oh, he got the North Carolina thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Look at his happy little face back there.
Probably because he saw Drumline and saw Petey Pablo.
Millions of times.
I actually went to college with the guy that was the head of the Drumline.
Can I get my props for getting that one, though?
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I thought that you were making fun of Julie getting waitlisted.
Oh, no. I was just excited.
Oh, okay.
That one.
It's like Captain America. I got that reference.
I totally got that reference. It's good. Yeah, so what was the determining factor? What because you wanted to be there. It felt special.
Yeah, I was really into college basketball, too, so I won't say that didn't play a part in it. But I think you go to a school and it just feels right. And the minute I set foot on Indiana's campus, I was like, this is where I want to go. And the funny thing is that Maggie had the exact opposite. She set foot on Indiana and was like, I don't want to go here. And so I've been really like offended by that for weeks.
That's how I felt about Illinois.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, I mean,
I didn't want to go to Illinois. Everyone from my high school went to Illinois.
That's kind of, and I mean, it's a big enough campus where you don't have to see a lot of people that you went to high school with or whatever. But I remember going down there and I had a room, like I had a dorm, like it was— I was going to Illinois.
Yeah.
Even though I was not, like, my first choice was Michigan. Like, that's where I wanted to go, but we couldn't afford it, so whatever.
Right.
And so with Illinois schools, I had a bunch of scholarship money. And I went down there, and I was like, I can't take this. I can't take the smell out of the South Farms. Like, I cannot do this.
I was just like, there are so many people I hate from high school who are walking around this campus. I don't want to go here.
Do you think that this run that Loyola has gone on will push more people to maybe consider Loyola that
Absolutely.
Didn't? I do too.
Well, let me tell you, my 15-year-old and all his, they're all like, I'm going to Oregon, I'm going to UCLA. I mean, they're all just like pulling names that they think are cool out of the air. But Loyola has started making its presence felt in that little fantasy where I'm going to go to college group.
I
so
like that.
Definitely, yeah.
They call it the Flutie effect, that Boston College saw this, you know, when Doug Flutie was there, that there was a spike in enrollment. And I think that we're going to see a spike. Darren Revelle can be a little ridiculous sometimes with his with
he has
running
the opposite effect on Northwestern.
with running with stuff that people tell him, but He said that one person that he talked to estimates that Loyola is getting $667 million of free advertising.
Wow.
Which, I mean, think about it. I spent 90 minutes tonight talking about Loyola basketball. And that was never, ever going to happen before. Right. The billboard's like right there on 55 now as you're rolling in.
Yep.
All of those things. So, I guess it could work in their favor.
Did you say Jay Rigdon from Awful Announcing's mom's bracket? She picked a perfect Final Four.
Seriously?
Yes.
Is she getting paid for that?
She's still in the, 550 people with the perfect Final Four.
I hope she gets paid.
Yeah.
Because that is incredible. Wow, she picked Loyola. Yep. Really?
Yep.
You think he's telling the truth?
Yeah, he posted a picture of it.
Yeah, but did he post a picture of it?
Ago? No, he did an interview with his mom too, with her talking about it. I believe it.
Okay,
I believe it.
All right, who are you doing the show with tonight? Who's on?
We are going to have on a couple of guys. I'm really excited. The guys from It's Biggs, which is going to be it's going to be Terrence Tomlin and Eugene McIntosh.
Oh, I've had a couple of nice email exchanges with Terrence. I'm very happy that you're putting those dudes on.
Yeah, Terrence and I used to work together at WGN and stuff, so it'll be cool. See him.
Okay, so you're ready for baseball.
I'm so ready for baseball.
I saw it with your spirit fingers as you came in here talking about baseball.
You didn't say my herky and everything that I did afterwards, but I'll show you that later.
All right, well, good. I'm looking forward to that on the ride home. It's one of those nights where I forgot to eat dinner again, so I'm thinking maybe...
What the vending machine's for.
No, I'm not doing... I think maybe Taco Burrito Palace might be in my future. Straight up and down. Hey, my wife's out of town. I'm going to go get me some tacos and put on some sweatpants and watch basketball.
Remember when the vending machine first started and they had healthy food in there?
Yeah.
And then no one ate it, so now all we have is junk food.
The quote-unquote fit pick.
There was tuna in there and all these healthy heart options. They're all gone. So
no one
ate them.
No one wants that. Bring on the Starburst. This segment was brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep. Get heavenly sleep with a new Tomorrow hybrid mattress, bedding, and more. Comfort designed by Serta Simmons Sleep Experts. Use code DRIVE for $125 off at tomorrowsleep.com. Julie DeCaro is coming up next. Check her out. Show her the same love you showed me. Thanks to Herbie and Tony for a great job tonight. Our incredible list of guests. Tom Thayer was on the show, Jordan Burnfield, and Lisa Byington. Have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow for a short, short, shorty. It's 6 o'clock here on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.